Tony Banks is with us this afternoon.
Thanks a lot.
It's nice to have you in town again. It's been how long now since the band came into town?
Well, I think it must be probably a couple of years.
A couple of years now, yeah. I think the last time I saw you was that huge date you did in Toronto with Brand X opening up.
Oh, right, the Blue Jays place, yeah.
That's right, yeah, that's it. Are you a baseball fan?
No, I know nothing about baseball, but I like cricket.
Oh, you like cricket,
and
do you?
It's all about hitting balls. So,
Tony, we've actually been treated with a new Genesis album quite recently, and as well we were treated as well with your solo album, Curious Feeling, which of course was hugely popular here in Montreal, being that Montreal is an incredible town for Genesis fans. Genesis has really, I suppose it was one of the first bands that was originally accepted in the progressive mold, to put a moniker on the band. And music has been going in a lot of different directions. I wanted to ask you two questions along those lines. First of all, how do you feel the progressive movement or the non-new wave music is faring in North America and perhaps in Europe?
Well, I obviously don't know much about what happens over here. But I mean, in Europe, well, I think you're pigeonholing it too much, really. I mean, I think a lot of the new wave music is progressive, you know, although a lot of it is obviously aimed fairly much at the top 30 and things, because that's, you know, you have to have a single nowadays to be successful. I think that's the biggest problem, really. I'd like to see more groups being able to break through with just an album, because obviously, I mean, a group like us, we had a lot of albums doing well before we ever had a hit single. I think that's quite important.
What about the new music? How do you feel about it? Have you played around at all with it yourself, getting into some of the sparser sound that's coming out?
Well, it's something I admire a lot. It's a difficult, you know. Well, I'm not sure whether we're so necessarily capable of doing it in that particular kind of way. You know, each person does it best their own way. I mean, and certainly, you get influences, I think, from some of the things, particularly a group like The Police, who are very, very good at sort of working with virtually no sound, you know, and it's the space that counts. And that teaches one a lot, I think.
What about the two-tone and that kind of music coming out of the UK right now? Do you listen to much of that?
Well, not very much. Only what I hear on the radio, really. So I'm only talking about singles in most cases. You know, I haven't heard that particular area isn't sort of one that's particularly struck me yet, you know.
So what are some of the bands? Just, I'm sure a lot of people in the audience are curious what some of the bands are that you're listening to these days. Or do you have any time to keep up with the current stuff?
Well, I listen to all sorts of things, really. I mean, a lot of stuff I listen to, I don't know whether I'm going to like it until I've listened to it. So if I say I've listened to somebody, like I just listened to XTC today because I got a cassette player on the road with me, you know, and I'm assuming, I mean, I'm just trying to find out who I do like and who I don't like a bit, you know. But of the newer bands, particularly, I mean, I like the Boomtown Rats a lot. And a lot of the English groups, I mean, I think, you know, like The Jam and people like that, I think are doing a lot of interesting music.
Outstanding.
But of other listening things, I listen a lot to classical music, I always have done. And a lot of old favourites, you know, Beatles, Beach Boys, Simon and Garfunkel, you know, I'm still listening to those.
The old moldies.
I'm afraid so.
But it's great stuff. Yeah. And there's an interesting resurgence happening in that kind of music right now.
Is there?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that in North America. And there's a resurgence in that, and certainly a great resurgence in the things like The Doors and Hendrix and Joplin.
I always liked Hendrix, yeah.
Yeah. What about jazz? Are you into jazz much?
Well, not very much, but I'm very ignorant about it as well, you know. It's not an area of music that's particularly attracted me. I mean, I hear some things I think are quite interesting, and I want to listen to a little bit more, actually, but, you know, it's a question of time.
Jazz very much can be a kind of an improvisational form. Do you get into a lot of improvisation, perhaps just personally, as you're sitting
well,
around?
Well, both as a group and individually. I mean, that's what I do most of the time, is improvise, and that's how I write, is just by improvising, and how the group writes a lot of its stuff as well. We just play for hours on end, and if anyone else heard it, it would sound pretty bad. You know, we don't mind how many bum notes we play. It's just a question of something may evolve if you let yourself sort of just do anything like that. And we enjoy improvising a lot.
So your band for this evening, have you, perhaps you could run through the lineup other than Mike and Phil and yourself.
Well, we've got the same two people as we had last time we played here, actually. This is Chester Thompson on drums.
And Daryl.
And Daryl Sturmer on guitar and bass guitar.
You used Chester in your solo album.
Yeah, that's right.
What was the reasoning behind that? Was it just a kind of a comfortable feeling? Or?
Well, there was something of that, I suppose, but the main reason was we obviously played with him on the road a lot, but he'd never recorded with us, and I was very interested, you know, I like what he does a lot, and I know he plays sympathetically to what I write, and I just thought it'd be a nice idea to use him on the album.
Well, listen, Misunderstanding seems to be the record that's taken off, or the, shall we say, the song that's taken off the most off from Duke. Is there any background you can give us on that song? How it came together?
Well, it's an example of, there are two songs in this album which Phil's written on his own. It's the first time he's ever written songs on his own, and this is one of the examples. You know, I think it's a sort of good, it's a good example of the kind of thing he writes. He can write in a very simple way, I think, very effectively, and it's a nice song.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's give it a listen, and we'll come back in just a couple minutes and talk a bit more. This is Misunderstanding from Genesis on Shom FM. Genesis on Shom FM, and there must be some kind of misunderstanding from the latest album, Duke. And Tony, we were talking a little bit earlier about your solo album. Why did it take so long for a solo album to come out from yourself?
Well, there's just no time. I mean, I've been working solidly on Genesis really for about the past 12 years, you know, and it's just Phil had a few personal problems to sort out in 79, and it just gave the chance for Mike and I to do solo albums. Mm-hmm. You know, we had about 3 or 4 months in which to do them, and it's something we wanted to do for quite a while, and it was really nice the time came up.
Do you have your own studio at your home, or do you work in other studios?
It's a very exotic term for a room with a tape recorder in it, you know. Yeah. But it's you know, I didn't do any master tracks there at all, but I did do a lot of experimenting with sort of, you know, with possible arrangements and things there.
Do you live in town or do you live out of town?
I live out of town. I moved out about a couple of years ago, and I live about sort of 40 miles outside London now.
Oh, that's nice. We've just received quite recently this book, Genesis, I Know What I Like, by Armando Gallo. And maybe you could give us a little bit of background on your association with Armando, because I know it's an extremely popular book here in Montreal already.
Yeah, well, we first met him, I think it must have been, Christ, I suppose, 71 or something like that, when we first played Italy. Mm-hmm. And he was writing for a local magazine there, and he was very keen on the music we were doing there. And we didn't have many champions in those days, and he was one of the few. And he's just stuck with us ever since. We've never been able to get rid of him, really, you know. Tried many times, but he turns up everywhere, you know. He's been following us around even this tour. He's still with us, you know.
He's still with us?
Oh, yeah, you can't get rid of him.
Incredible, because, in fact, I think it was Mike Rutherford who wrote the intro. It said something like that. For many years, we've been trying to get Armando Gallo off our backs.
Yes, right. Well, that sums it up, you know.
Taken lightheartedly, though,
I'm
sure.
Oh, yes.
Well, listen, what else did we want to get into? We've talked about the book. We've talked about your impressions of music in Europe. How much time do you actually get when you're on the road to consider new music and to actually sit down and get involved with each town that you get into and sort of listen to the radio and get a feel for the city? Do you get much of a chance?
Well, don't get very much chance to do that, really. I mean, I do a lot of driving over here, so I hear a lot on the radio then. But I don't really get much chance to do more than that. And that, listening to radio tends to mean listening to the AM stations, which is what the car radio picks up, you know. So I hear sort of the same singles over and over again.
Yeah.
And I tend to associate tours with various singles.
Well, that's an interesting concept. Mm. Yeah, I imagine so. So when you're old and gray, you'll have a chronology of music associated with all of your tours.
Well, I get a bit muddled as to which tour, which one was on, you know. But sometimes you remember these songs that you only hear over here, maybe, you know, because they weren't hits in England.
Uh-huh. There's, of course, a huge difference between the electronic media in England and
yeah.
North America. You say you drive a fair amount. Is this as opposed to flying from day to day?
Yeah, I don't like flying, so but I also like driving. I mean, you know, I mean, I wouldn't drive quite as much as I am at the moment if I enjoyed flying more, put it like that. But, you know, you do get some really nice drives. Like, as I was saying today, I drove up from Boston to Montreal, and it's a really nice drive. And you get an idea of the geography of the country as well. And when you're flying over it all the time, you just don't know, you don't know what's going on. It's all underneath you.
Exactly. And it's a beautiful drive up the seaboard, isn't it?
Right.
So do you, like, rent a car in whatever town you're in and then drive it up and drop it off?
Well, that's right. But I've had this one, in fact, since Kansas City, because I've been driving since then, which is about 3 weeks ago. You know, I'm sort of 300 miles a day, you know.
Yeah. Where are you in the tour right now?
We're coming up towards the end, or about another week and a half to go.
Uh-huh. And then is that going to be it for a while for North America? Then you'll try to do something in Europe again?
Well, in fact, that's it for touring. We did two months in England before we came out here. We're not doing anything else in Europe this year.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to be playing there next year, and we'll be coming back here next year. But, you know, we've decided the rest of this year, Phil wants to make a solo album for a start.
Oh, great.
And during which time Mike and I will be getting into writing more, both for solo stuff and also for future group projects.
Is it a fairly much a three-way street in terms of writing for the band?
Well, it is now. On the last album, I think it was virtually even all round, you know, for all of us. Probably because Mike and I had slightly less to offer because of the solo albums, you know, and we did a lot more group writing too, which was nice. But I mean, obviously on earlier albums, you know, the bias, it's been different. Each album, a different person may dominate a bit.
Do you find the work on the solo album did drain you creatively somewhat?
Well, no, I mean, I came back very fresh, actually, and I mean, I wrote a lot more than was actually ended up on that album, but we, just the way we decided to, I'm talking about Duke now,
mm-hmm.
The way we decided to go about it was to try and write as much as possible as a group. And then since each of us had got quite a lot to offer as individuals, we decided just to select two by each of us, two of the best, you know, and work on it like that.
Somebody Else's Dream, a song from your album that in fact you just chose to put on. Is there a story that goes along with it?
Well, the whole album is one story, which is easier understood, I think, if by reading the lyrics and sort of, you know. But this particular song is sort of like the climax of the album, really. And it's sort of a very depressing song. It's a very depressing album, actually, but I mean, it's hopefully in a pleasant way. And this track just tells the sort of moment when he finally, the man who's the hero of the story, if you like, finally goes off the rails.
I see. Okay, well, listen, why don't we spin that, and we'll come back and chat just a bit more, all righty? Here's Tony Banks on Shome FM. FM and Someone Else's Dream from his debut solo album, A Curious Feeling. Tony Banks of Genesis, and he's going to be back with us in just a moment. Banks of Genesis, and Tony, it's terribly nice to have you back in town again.
Right.
And we're just basically going to say goodbye now because I know you've got to run down and get a sound check done. And the folks down at Donald K. Donald just called and asked us to let people know that the show will be starting at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
Apparently you've got some troubles with the sound truck or something?
Yeah, I think it's taken a bit of time to arrive.
Tony, what do we have in store this evening? A couple of people have called up and asked on the phone already. Perhaps you could pass
along.
Well,
we have about, we're doing about half an hour from Duke. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the stuff is drawn from earlier albums, quite a lot from Trick of the Tail, a bit from, you know, each of the ones on either side of that.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to just be a great Genesis show.
That's what we hope.
Super. Okay, Tony, thank you very, very much for coming in. And we're going to get into a little bit more of music from Duke right now.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye now.